Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. This program is a new collaboration between KWBU and Creative Waco, where we'll sit down with creative leaders and innovators in Waco's cultural sector. I am the Director of Marketing and Communications at Creative Waco, which is a nonprofit that supports the arts across McLennan County through strategy, funding, and professional development. Today, we'll talk with Doreen Ravenscroft, the brain behind Art on Elm, which is an annual arts festival in East Waco. But before we get to Doreen, Fiona Bond is here to talk about a couple of public art projects that are underway and the benefit of having things like public art in a city with a cultural sector, which we have. So, Fiona, thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much, Ray.
So, just to start off, you know, going beyond the obvious aesthetic of having public art in a public space in a city, what's the impact of having public art for a community?
You know, I think the best way for me to answer that is to tell a story about when I first saw Waco. My husband and I came to visit Waco from St. Andrews in Scotland, where we were living at the time. And I honestly have to say that Waco was not on my top 10 list of places that I thought I had always wanted to live. And we came because Bruce was being interviewed for a position at Baylor. And we were feeling pretty lukewarm about that opportunity at the time. And I have to say that within 24 hours of being in Waco, we completely fell in love with the city. And one of the reasons for that was that it took me completely by surprise culturally. At the time that we visited for the first time, there were all these wonderful contemporary sculptures alongside the river. And I remember driving along University Parks Drive thinking, Waco is not at all what I expected. These sculptures, which I later learned were one of the initiatives that Doreen Ravenscroft, who you're just about to speak to, had put together with Cultural Arts of Waco. These wonderful contemporary sculptures were emblematic, I felt, of a city that was on the rise, that was thinking differently about itself to the way that its public image had been conveyed to me. And that was part of our decision-making process about coming to Waco. And I've since heard from lots of people who have said that public art has been very formative for them in terms of signaling what a community's aspirations are, what kind of community it considers itself to be. We know from the kind of controversy that public art can sometimes cause that symbols are important. They're really meaningful. And the kinds of things that we place in public and visible spaces have incredible meaning to the kinds of aspirations and community that we convey to the rest of the world. And so public art has a really special place in terms of signaling and also unpacking the kind of community that we are and that we aspire to be.
Sure. Do you know if there's a correlation between the presence of public art in a city and economic development?
There is. And sometimes it's hard to make the link because often investment in public art goes hand in hand with investment in a lot of other kinds of infrastructure. So, you know, economists would say it's very difficult to kind of pull apart the one factor in terms of investment in public art. But what I can say is that research has shown that there is no example of a city that has done really spectacularly well economically that has not invested in public art.
Great. So hopefully we'll continue to expand our public art collection here in the city of Waco.
Absolutely. And I know that not only do we have the amazing Doris Miller Memorial project on the go, which is one of the initiatives that Cultural Arts of Waco is working on. But also, of course, we are working with the city for a series of zoo animal sculptures, which are going to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the zoo. And one of the things, you know, when we put out the request for proposals for that, one of the things that I found incredibly encouraging was we got phone calls and correspondence from artists, not just from Texas, but from all over the US and even all over the world. We actually had applications from Canada and Australia. And every time I had a conversation with an artist, they said, you know, we hear Waco's on the rise. We hear that Waco is a community that is really starting to take its artistic and cultural life seriously. And that's partly thanks to the tireless work of people like Doreen and people who have been doing this. And of course, you know, the Robinsons who are investing in that particular project, Clifton and Betsy Robinson. But people who have invested in public art and find that important for our community for a long time.
Sure. So I do want to talk about those two public art projects in just a minute. But before we do that, can you just maybe name just a few of the most obvious examples of public art that we have here in Waco already?
Absolutely. Well, I think the most emblematic and the one that everyone is drawn to is the amazing crossing of the Brazos River. The steers and the cowboys, which are those magnificent bronzes right as you approach the suspension bridge. I mean, those are so emblematic of the history of Waco, but also the fact, I mean, one of the things I love about that series of sculptures is that the cowboys, if you look at them, one is Hispanic, one is African-American, and one is Anglo. That really is the history of the people who drove cattle across the Brazos River. And it's sometimes a neglected part of our history, but that's a really great example of how public art, I think, can recapture some of the sense of what we might forget when we tell some of the stories about our history as a community.
Sure. And do murals count as public art as well?
Oh, for sure.
Awesome. So we have lots of those.
And actually, there is a tour of murals and public art, which is now part of the Waco app. So people can do a self-guided tour of downtown art. And that tells the stories that are behind some of those wonderful murals and sculptures that people can find.
Sure. And the Waco app is a fantastic way to engage with the creative life of Waco. Like Fiona said, there are a number of tours that you can take, and that will kind of guide you through some of the things that are available in Waco, as well as Fiona said, go into more detail about them. So if you want to download the app, you can go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and search for Waco. And the symbol is a little heart with a W in the middle of it, because we love Waco. Fiona, thank you so much for being here today and sharing about the importance of public art here in Waco.
Thank you very much, Ray. And if people want to find out more about either the Doris Miller Project or the Zoo Sculpture Project, they can do that online. I think you've got the website there for the Doris Miller Project. And then if people want to find out more about the Zoo Sculpture Project, they can go to creativewaco.org, look under projects, and it's the first project that comes up.
I'll be sure to include that information on the blog post that goes along with this conversation, and that'll be at creativewaco.org/blog. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Next, we have Doreen Ravenscroft, who's the Director of Cultural Arts of Waco. Her organization is responsible for some of Waco's largest creative events every year, including Arts Fest and Art on Elm, which is coming up this April. Doreen, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
So you're in charge of some of the most important creative and cultural events that we have here in Waco, and you're also one of the busiest people that I know. So can you start just by telling me more about all of the things that you do with Cultural Arts of Waco?
Well, currently we coordinate three festivals. We coordinate Art on Elm, which is in April, Waco Cultural Arts Fest, which will be October this year, the first week of October. And then we do a very small festival in the Hud Street Park, the East Waco Park, Pumpkin Fest, which is a small festival that's developing. We're also looking at maybe a very special festival called Doris Miller Heroes Days, which will happen not this year. It's going to be a biannual event honoring veterans, so especially Waco heroes. So that's kind of for the future, because this year we hope to be dedicating the Doris Miller Memorial itself on December 7th. So that's our big event
Sure.
for this year. But we also do a summer camp for kids with autism and cerebral palsy. And that gets supported by a grant from TCA, which is a matching grant. And we've just heard we got $5,500.
Awesome. Congratulations.
From TCA.
Yeah, that's
awesome. So that's
awesome.
A matching grant for our summer camp, which will be great. And that's an 8-week camp in collaboration with the ARC of McLennan County.
Excellent.
So we're really excited about that because we got the full award that we requested, which is even more.
Great. Yeah, awesome. Congratulations. That's so exciting.
And, you know, part of Waco Cultural Arts Fest, you know, some of the art supplies always get passed on to that. But we're able to buy special equipment like extra iPads. We're working on a digital program for our students, which is, we hope, we will develop into cards and a calendar to help, you know, recognize the kids and their work.
Awesome. That's that's really exciting. Can you tell me about your background in the arts and how you ended up in the work that you're doing today?
Oh, that's a long story. It's kind of an odd story because nobody would really figure out that in actual fact, in England, I had a degree in chemistry, maths, and physics.
Really?
Which is, chemistry's creative.
Sure.
So I really actually wanted to go to art school, but in the 1950s, so that's kind of, don't calculate too much, but that's, you know, giving my age a little bit. It was kind of the 60s. The 60s actually was the age of the angry young man in England, and my mother said, no. No way are you going to art school. So guess what? Chemistry was my next best subject. So that's what happened. So I worked for Unilever in England in their research department. And because that's where I met Bill and we finally came to the US with M&M Mars. But all that time, I had still had you know, an anchoring for the arts. And in England, I'd actually started a design company just with floral design. Because when I had the kids, I didn't really, Bill didn't want me to work. So, but I couldn't just not do nothing.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody has realized now.
Yep.
So, and then in and then when we came to the States after 3 years, I restarted that design company, which you know, grew into faux finishing. So some of the and that was an accident. We were finishing huge big containers to look like Texas limestone, and someone came in and said, "I want my wall like that." And we said, "Okay, we'll do it." And then we discovered it was a staircase. You know, so there was the first challenge. Never saying no can sometimes be complicated.
Sure.
So that grew into it's actually its own business. So, and a lot of people know the Hawkins House. You know, I did all the gold work and had a team to help with all the faux finishing there. But my most special place is the small chapel at Riker, which I did, because that was a really special project, doing a chapel.
Yeah.
So really, the arts have always been there. I always had paper and pencils when I was little. And so, you know, drawing and art was a hobby instead of being a career. But then I kind of made it into a career after I sold Flowers by Design, you know, and I was the person who brought the first Holland flowers into Waco and European design. So everybody got used to me bringing buckets of flowers instead of delivering an arrangement to the door because I wanted to do them on site.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I guess it's always been there as part of my inner being.
Sure.
But it's fun to be able to do it and, you know, to start a nonprofit that could continue an arts festival, which was Waco Cultural Arts Fest in 2004, and to make sure it was free because I think it's important that families are able to attend some events in Waco that are free, that are quality events, and that's what we try to do. All our arts activities are run by teachers, art teachers or professors from Baylor or MCC. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we also kind of can become like that, that place where parents can see that their children really are creative and they want to be creative, but then they're also telling us maybe the programs are being cut in school. And you then have an opportunity to say, well, fight for the arts, fight for music, fight for art, because they are so important, especially in the development of the young child, you know, from one onwards, 1 to 5, the small child's brain is like a sponge. And so the more you can have that child experience creativity, the more you're helping them to make those decisions. Because they're, you know, people think, how can you be affecting life when you're older? But you're having them choose colors, choose design, choose shapes. I don't want this, but I want that one, putting them together. So they're developing those cognitive skills. And so that's why I think the arts are so important for us to have in Waco. And we don't want a fence around the festival because we would leave a child out. You know, there are days that we've seen a family come for 2 days, solidly, from the moment we opened till the time we closed. And then we've gone over to the Salvation Army to deliver extra hot dogs that we don't use, because we always donate everything that's left over. And there's the family playing in the garden at one of the houses. And you suddenly realize that everything is worth it just for that one family and that one child.
Sure.
Who's had a happy day for 2 days. And they've taken home artwork. They can put it on the wall in their room. And I think the other exciting thing is when you see a set of little legs and a huge, great piece of cardboard, and all you see is a head and 2 feet, but they are walking out of the festival showing their work. And it could just be, you know, some squiggles, and, you know, not really recognizable. It's contemporary art, then. But it's the pride that matters. You know,
yeah.
Look at me and what I have done. And, you know, we get parents saying, we can't throw those sheets of cardboard away. So I think some parents may have artwork from 2004 still in their garage,
yeah.
Which is nice, you know. the kids value it that they don't want their parents to throw it away. But then on the other hand, if they keep them, they also see how their child is developing from an age 4 painting, say, to an age 7 painting.
Sure.
So that's fun, too.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the biggest challenges that you have experienced bringing art to people here in Waco?
Well, obviously, always the biggest challenge is funding, getting sponsors. That's an annual thing. We start off with a budget, but it's not like a business that you already have the money in the bank. When you start at the beginning of the year, we start from scratch. So Waco Cultural Arts Fest ranges between $75,000 and $100,000. It all depends who we're bringing in. And our other activities are supported in some way by Waco Cultural Arts Fest because, you know, we do have paint left over. And so those are taken on to Art on Elm, to Pumpkin Fest, to our summer camp, and also to Brazzers Nights, where we do some free activities for Brazzers Nights. So you know, that's the main challenge. And the other challenge is the weather, because it's an outdoor event. You know, we've had tornadoes, we've had rain, we've had wind, but we're, you know, rain or shine event, because the experience of buying you know, bad weather insurance is that cost is so high, and you have to have an immeasurable amount of rain that, it's, you know, it's really prohibitive. So you do a rain or shine event, and if you're rained out, you're rained out.
Yeah.
So that's always one of the biggest challenges. Volunteers, we don't have challenges. Absolutely amazing. We get, you know, 100 to 200 volunteers every year, and we so appreciate them because we couldn't do these events without them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's really good to hear that you guys are so supported, and not surprising at all because you guys do incredible work. So Ardent Elm is gearing up for, is it in its fifth or sixth year now?
It's its sixth year.
Sixth year?
Yeah.
Awesome. So why did you guys choose to host the festival on Elm Avenue?
Well, actually, it began with NeighborWorks Waco. And we have an amazing partnership with NeighborWorks Waco. When they went to a conference, when the national conference, the National NeighborWorks America conference, it was a conference where you have lots of presentations and what can you do in an area that maybe doesn't have as many services, sometimes is an area that people don't want to go to. How can you get people to participate in different communities? And so one of the things that was suggested was an arts festival. So because they were building houses in East Waco, they decided they would begin Art on Elm. We came in as a partner on the first year just doing the arts activities. But on the third year, Roy Nash said to me, Doreen, I have something to give you, and it's totally free. And it was Art on Elm. And so we have an agreement with the we did an agreement with the board of NeighborWorks Waco that we would take on Art on Elm. And NeighborWorks Waco would always be a partner with us. So we kind of changed like that because they realized that as the festival got bigger, their staff was taking more time on organizing the festival. And yet really their big work was putting people in homes, sure, in affordable homes. So, you know, I've led a team for the last 3 years to NeighborWorks America to, you know, bring back various ideas to Waco. And this year we're partnering with the $2,000 that comes back, arts organizations or organizations that specifically want to do something in the East Waco Park. It has no porta potties. So we are sponsoring porta potties.
Yeah.
plus pumpkin event. They're going to do that. But yeah. So, you know, in a way to get people to be comfortable in using a park. So, but Art on Elm, can I say a few words about that?
Definitely. Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Well, it's coming up April 6th through the 7th. And the deadline for our artist booths is March 23rd. So I'm really hoping that everybody will support us. It's not expensive. It's $50 because it's a non-juried vendor show. But we do have an arts exhibition, which is also got the same deadline, but that is a juried show, which takes place annually in the Brazos E Event Center. So please enter. That entry is free, but you can only do 3 entries, and then we'll let you know which entries we would like to show. But we are going to do a special exhibit because we still have some of the work of Monsaru Alache. He was the winner of the Waco Nigeria Arts and Crafts competition. So we are actually going to reshow some of his work that's still here in Waco.
Awesome.
At that event, because it's a series of photographs that he watercolored, and it's his travels through Nigeria to the Cameroon.
Wow.
And it's just people. And I think it makes people really see how lucky we are to have some of the things that we have here, and but also how lucky they are to have such an amazing arts culture. We have a lot to learn. And to have that exchange was absolutely amazing.
Definitely.
And Monsaru wants to come back. He wants to come back to Baylor and be an artist.
Yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see that happen.
So
for sure.
I would love to see that happen too. So, on the Friday night, we have Splash on the Colour, the tickets for $20, and they will go on sale this weekend. We've been a little bit behind because we've moved our office to 814 Elm Avenue. And so that's been an exciting move. And getting back in gear has been a little longer than expected, but now we're up and going again.
Yeah. How have you guys seen the festival impact those who are involved each year with Art on Elm?
What's interesting is in the community asking, when is it going to be? Can I have my food booth? Can I bring my craft? And so I think it's an expected thing, which is great. It's not that it's a big festival. It's a community festival. Mm-hmm. And it's a street festival. It's a pop-up festival. So, the amazing thing is there's nothing there on the street on Friday morning at 6 o'clock. And by 10 o'clock, there's a load of tents. And I think it makes the community feel as though we value that area. We value the people that live there and the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about Art on Elm is that it really feels like an event that is easy to take ownership of, you know, as an individual.
Yes.
Just because of, obviously, I think the size has something to do with it, but also just how interactive everything is.
Yes.
and how you're allowed to just be really up close and personal with,
yes,
with the art.
Yeah. And we have an unexpected event. The first week of April is going to be Navy Week. And initially, and this is absolutely amazing for all your listeners, an admiral will be laying a wreath at the Doris Miller bronze,
oh, wow,
statue, which is kind,
yeah,
of fantastic.
Yes.
And we're not sure which day yet. They're announcing all the days, but I believe it's going to be Wednesday of that first week of April. But then at Art on Elm, they called us to say they were going to give us the Navy Brass Quintet. So the Navy Brass Quintet will be playing at noon for 1 hour. Compliments of the Navy.
Wow. That's incredible.
So I hope people will come and listen to them.
Yeah.
We're going to put up a tent and so that people can sit under the tent and listen to them. And that's going to be a challenge because, you know, I'm not quite sure how loud it's going to be. And yet you have to talk to artists who want to sell their work. So I'm actually redesigning the site so that we can fit in the Navy.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Doreen, thank you so much for stopping by to talk about
Art
on Elm. We're really thankful for the impact that your work has on our community here.
Thank you.
Visit artonelm.org for more information about the festival. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for a recap of this conversation and more information about the festival. Catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, April 27th. I'll be sharing more stories of leaders from Waco's artistic and cultural community. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.